as we come back together on this evening to continue worshiping God in spirit and in truth, as we sometimes think about people in general, I want us to give a short thought of the ones that were here on this morning. And we look at the number, that's what I say too. He said, 112, which brings about, as Brother Mark was leaving, and I told him the title of the lesson on this evening. The title of the lesson is Why? Why? Very, very interesting question. Why? We asked when we were little kids, why? Mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, teachers, anyone that was in authority tell us to do something, there were times where we replied, why? Our siblings might have tried to get us to do things and many times succeeded. We asked that question, why? There's no difference in today that people are still asking the question, why? Why? Remember when we first started worshiping here, the question was asked in one of the classrooms. Why? It was in reference to why did a man have to die? Why? Well, we're going to answer the question why tonight, dealing with four different questions. The first question is, why did you seek Jesus? Why did you seek Jesus? Why did you become a Christian? Why are you here today? And why does it matter? That last one there is, I believe, when we ask that to people sometimes, or that is asked to us, why does it matter, or what does it matter? Well, as we look at the scriptures to answer these four questions, I want you to understand that in the end, we're all going to have to give an answer for the life in which we have lived. And you may ask yourself, why? And my answer would be that God said so. And that's generally what our answer is, isn't it? Because I said so. And that sometimes should put an end to the whys. But it does not. It does not put an end to it. It sometimes stirs the curiosity of someone. Well, you said that this is the reason. Well, you need to give me just a little bit more. Just a little bit more. So let's start out, if we may, in the book of Luke chapter 2 and the verses 49. Luke chapter 2 and the verses 49. Many times we talk about Jesus as being a little boy from time to time. And as they were leaving, and Mary and Joseph saw that Jesus was nowhere around to be found, they searched for him. They searched for him. But they did not find him. And we find that in the scriptures, talking about Jesus and the life in which he lived. The Bible says in verse 41, let's start up a little bit so give you what's really happening here. Now his parents, the parents of Jesus, that is, went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to custom. And when the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it. But supposing him to be in the group, they went a day's journey, and then they began to search for him among their relatives and acquaintances. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem searching for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress. Now the question was asked to him first, why did you do this to us? Why did you stay back here in Jerusalem when you knew we were leaving? Why were you not with some of the other relatives or some of our acquaintances? Why were you not with them? But here's what Jesus says in verse 48. As his parents asked that, and they asked that question, and when his parents saw him and were astonished, and his mother said to him, Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress. Verse 49. And he said to them, why were you looking for me? Why were you looking for me? Now, granted, you know, a parent, when they miss their children, especially when they're moved from one place to another, one city to the other, they are concerned. They were looking for him. Jesus, he asked this question, why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? Don't you know that? Now, it doesn't change the fact that Jesus was not where his parents wanted him to be. But what really matters right here is Jesus was right where God wanted him to be. That's the answer to that question. Why did you seek me? Don't you know I must be about my Father's business? Joseph could have very well said, no, I'm your father. But he did not. He didn't do that. The Bible says in verse 50, and they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. Begin to process these things, to process them. And when the question is asked of us, why are you doing what you're doing? And we answer the question, why are you asking me this? Don't you know I am doing the Father's business? So we have to be able to give an answer that God would be pleased with. If Jesus would have said, well, I just wanted to be nosy. That's why I stayed back here. I wanted to be disobedient. That's why I stayed back here. He didn't answer like that. He wasn't disrespectful to them. He just said, don't you know I must be about my Father's business? So let's, as we think about this lesson, let's get the motive out of why. Let's get the reason out of why. Let's get the purpose out of why. And as we get these three things out of the why, we're getting an understanding why we do what we do. Maybe you don't fully understand, as Mary and Joseph didn't fully understand, but you're going to process these things. You're going to keep these things in your heart, and you're going to go over them time and time again. And you say, oh, that is the reason. Now, I remember hearing the gospel. I remember obeying the gospel. But somewhere down the line, I have forgotten why I became a Christian. I want to answer that question tonight, and it may spark some interest in you. The first thing we need to realize as we go to the book of John, chapter 20, verse 30 through 31. John chapter 20, verse 30 and 31. The question that I ask anyway to people that come and they want to obey the gospel. I ask them, do they believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? And that, you know, after hearing the gospel, that is something that we want to get out of the people. Yes, I do believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So why are you a Christian? That is one of the reasons. Because you believe, we believe that Jesus is the Son of God. John 20, verse 30 and 31. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in the book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. So is it not important to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? That's something that we stress to people. But we know that believing is not enough, that there need to be just a little bit more to it. But believing is a start. That I believe what you're saying. I believe that the word of God is true. Okay, you believe that? Do something about it. Now that you have become a Christian and you have lived this Christian life for quite some time, you know, there are some Christians, and it's a shame to say, that they quit believing. So what can we do in order to stress the importance of them believing once again? It takes patience. It takes time. And it takes a lot of effort to get them to understand that let's open up the book and let's begin once again to understand exactly who God is. Let's understand what God has done for us. And let's understand who His Son is and understand what His Son has done for us. And as we understand those two, again, we understand who the Spirit is and what He has done for us. And we continue to look in the book, and then once again that person says, that's the reason. That is the reason why I became a Christian long ago. And I'm sorry, I repent, I confess why I fell away. I believe once again. That would be a great thing, wouldn't it? For those individuals that say that they have quit believing in God or believing in Jesus Christ as being the Son of God, and then they began to believe once again. Why? Because you know how valuable your soul is. That's the reason why we believe. That's the reason why we stress the importance of continuing to believe in who Jesus Christ is, because we realize how valuable our soul is, and we realize that one day we will have to give an account, and the Bible tells us that God can destroy both body and soul in hell. And that is not what we want. We do not want to be destroyed in hell, but we want to have a home in eternity, to avoid that hell fire. In the book of 1 John, the chapters 3 and the verses 17 through 19. 1 John chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. See, we want to make sure that we have the right understanding and understand why we believe what we believe. He says, actually, in verse 16, by this we know love, that He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has this world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed, the Bible says, and in truth. In verse 19, by this we shall know that we are the truth, know that we are of the truth, and reassure our heart before Him. Again, our belief is kindled up. That we have done the right thing because of what Christ has done for us. And we have an assurance that we do not have to worry about the hell fire because we are living the life that God wants us to live. Are we willing to do that? Are we willing to continue to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and believe that we need to stress the importance to others that they may help as we do ourselves, help those that are in need in order for us to avoid hell? We need to think about that as we understand why we are Christians. It is to live for heaven, to live for heaven. You know, what are you living for? What are you working for? You know, there's so many people don't know what they're living for. They go from this angle to this angle over here to this angle over here, and they never get anything accomplished. But to live a Christian life is to live for heaven, because that is our goal. Someone again told me yesterday that we're all going to the same place. No, we're not all going to the same place. Only if we do things the same way and live the same way will we get to the same place. Whether we're living a sinful life and we die a sinful death, that place that we all will be going will be hell. Or if we all live according to God's word and continue to do the things that are right, we all will get to heaven. But the all is not saying everybody that's worshiping God is going to go to heaven. That is not true. That is not true, because all worship is not acceptable unto Him. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 13 through 17. Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 13 through 17. Talk about those people that are faithful. We go to the book of Hebrews and we look at some faithful people. And this is what the writer says in reference to those people. All these died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. Verse 15, he says, if they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But it, as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. What are we living for? What are we living for? Jesus even told his disciples, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. In the book of John, chapter 14, verses 1 through 5. We need to understand the importance of worshiping, or 1 through 4, the importance of worshiping God, and the reason that we are Christians is because we want to get to heaven. So we're going to live our life in a fashion that God is very pleased with. Now here's the big question. I think I might have mentioned this in passing this morning as I was preaching, but here's the big question that needs an answer. Why are you here today? Why are you here today? Well, we had two individuals this morning that were here today because they were seeking a better life. They were seeking a better way. And both of those individuals that I know of, it could have been someone else that wasn't interested in really doing what they said that they were here for, but those two individuals were added to the kingdom. That is a good reason to be here. And the better reason to be here is that we want to get to heaven. And so we're going to worship God the way that he tells us to worship him. It's commanded for us to be here on this day. Is that the reason that you're here? It's because you know that the scripture says that we're to come together to provoke one another to love and to good works. That we should not forsake the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhort one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. Is it here to edify one another in song? Is that the reason you're here? Is the reason you're here today, or the reason that you were here earlier today when we first came to services on this morning, was to partake of the Lord's Supper? Because we know that the disciples did it upon the first day of the week, according to Acts chapter 20, verse 7. Whether to give as God has allowed you to prosper, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1 and 2. Is that the reason that you came today? Why are you here today? Why are you here today? You know, we can ask that. Why? Tomorrow, someone may ask you, why did you go to worship yesterday? You know, maybe someone came that you hadn't seen in years worshiping God, and you may ask them that question. Why did you come to worship on yesterday? Well, why were you there then? Why were you not there, you know, the Sunday before last? Well, can't ask why, because it hadn't came yet, but after next Sunday passed, and they weren't here, they said, why weren't you here this past Sunday? And see what kind of answer that you received. Many are here today, or were here today, because out of curiosity. I want to really see what they're doing. I hear what they say on the radio program. I hear what they say as they knock my door. I hear what they say on the job. But out of curiosity, I want to really know, is that what they're doing? And the answer should be yes. We should let our yea be yea and our nay be nay. When we say something in reference to God's word, it should be seen in our actions. See, there's a lot of people that talk a whole lot of different things about this is why I'm doing these things, but yet they have no Bible to prove why they're doing those things, that God is pleased with them. We need to get to the Word of God and see exactly why people do what they do. And when we do what we do, we go to point to the Scriptures. This is why. But out of curiosity, in the book of Matthew chapter 11, the verses 7 and 8, Matthew chapter 11 in the verses 7 and 8, out of curiosity, we find here, first off, that John had sent messengers. And we find that these messengers from John the Baptist, that there was something given to them or something asked and this, that, and the other. But as we look at these verses here from verse 7 and 8, it says, as they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? And what then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. You didn't go out there to see anything like that. Why? Was it out of curiosity? You went to see what type of man John was? Or even the question that John sent them to ask concerning Jesus. What are you really looking for? What are you looking for? See, curiosity, the old saying goes, curiosity killed the cat. A lot of times people are curious about things, but they when they find the truth out concerning what they have really been curious about, they don't want to accept that. So we have to turn, we have to stop, and we have to think, am I doing what I am supposed to be doing? See, there are a very few people that are led to faith by curiosity. But there are many that have been curious but have gone right back out into the world. Why do I say this? I say this because of what the Scripture says. In the book of Acts chapter 17, verse 32 and 34. Acts chapter 17, verse 32 and 34. Because that man that's curious about things, a lot of times when you show it to him, you have to show it to him again and again and again and again. He's still trying to figure it out. What's really going on? I don't really understand. If you would just stop and look at what's going on, get an understanding out of it, that should just wipe out that curiosity, and then you should be able to accept those things. But there are a few, just a few, that have been led to faith by curiosity. Acts chapter 17, verse 32 and 33. And when they had heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. But others said, we will hear you again about this matter, about this. So Paul went out of their midst, but some of the men joined him and believed, among whom also were Dionysus and Areopagite, and a woman named Damaris, and others with him. Out of all of those that were curious, and it was told to them about the resurrection of the dead, the Bible says some mocked, but others said, we will hear you again about this matter. So those that mocked and those that said, we will hear you again on this matter, were not the ones that were obedient. But a few were obedient, and we have the names right there. So curiosity, is that why you are here today? Is that the reason why you come to worship God, out of curiosity? And then there are those that are searching for something better. Something better. That's good. Brother Fair, he mentioned today after, and this is something that he always say, those two individuals that were baptized today, they have made the most important decision out of their lives, in their lives, and that is to obey the gospel. And then the next would be to live faithful, to live faithful. But searching for something better in life. You know, do we all want something better in life? Do we not? Yes, we do. We want the best for our children. We want the best for ourselves. We want the best for those that are around us. We always want the best. But to want something better in life means this, that you need to do something better. In the book of Ecclesiastes, the chapter is 12 and the verses 13 and 14. Ecclesiastes, the chapter 12 and the verses 13 and 14. You want something better out of life? Understand why you're living. Understand what your life is all about. It's not about self. But what it's about is about God and keeping His commandments. The Bible says in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and the verses 13 and 14, the end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil. You want something better out of life? Fear God and keep His commandments. That's their answer to that. Why are you here today? Because I fear God and I want to keep His commandments. I respect Him. I want to do the things in which I find in Scripture that are for me to do. I want to do those things because I know that there is a better life for me. For me, there's a better life. I can't speak for you, but I can tell you that there is a better life for you. I can't tell you how you're going to get there. I can't tell you what to do and how to do it because there's different people that need to do different things. The wives, you know, every woman in here is not a wife, but the wives are supposed to submit to their husbands. Every man in here is not a husband, but the husband is supposed to love their wives. Everyone in here does not have parents, but those that do have parents, you're supposed to obey your parents in the Lord. How can you have a better life? How can you have something better? Look in God's Word and see what's for you and do those things. For you will have to give an account, the Bible says, of every secret thing, whether good or whether evil. Let us know this and let us understand it. You know, there are people that stop by sometimes, and they're looking. They're searching. And they, here's what they will put on the card sometimes. I'm looking for a church home. And what does that really mean? And when you start talking to them, you find out that they're not a member of any group at all, but they're looking for a church home. Do you know what that individual needs to do? The individual needs to hear the gospel. He needs to believe what he has heard. He needs to repent. He needs to confess. And he needs to be baptized. And you know what God is going to do after he's baptized? The Bible says, as we stated this morning from Acts chapter 2, verse 47, he says that he asked them to the church. You know what they have now? They have a home. They have somewhere where they can fit in. They have somewhere where they can become the part of a family. And I believe that when we look at that and we understand that a person is looking for something better, that is one of the most important things that we can have. And that is somebody that we are around that care about us. The gospel needs to be taught. And people need to understand that they need to be obedient unto it. And then as we think about it and we look at why we worship and how we worship God in spirit and in truth. And how do we worship him in spirit and in truth? We look at the scriptures and we say, this is what God wants me to do, and I'm going to do those things. He tells us he wants us to sing. So how do we sing? We look at the scriptures and we say, according to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19, Colossians chapter 3, in the verses 16, we sing with the spirit. And we sing with the understanding, and we sing in order to edify one another. We sing. We don't have a group standing before us, entertaining us. We all sing to edify one another, to build one another up. See, that's part of our worship. And our worship needs to be acceptable unto God. How is it going to be acceptable unto God? That we do it the way he says, not the way we want to. Not how we feel, but how he says. We encourage one another. I already stated that from the book of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. We encourage one another. We hear the word of God, and as we hear the word of God, we do not say, that's not what I want to hear. This is what I want to hear. No, we hear the word of God, not just part of it, but we hear all of it. Because the whole counsel needs to be proclaimed, because someone somewhere need it. You know, I start with self and I go to the back door. Because we all need the word of God. And as we get the word of God, we need to know what we need to do in order to be pleasing to him. The book of 1 Timothy chapter 4 and the verses 6. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and the verses 6. He says in verse 6 of 1 Timothy 4, if you put these things before the brothers, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, being trained in the words of faith and of good doctrine that you have followed. Verse 16. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by doing so, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Why do we teach from the word of God? Because this is what's going to save us. Not just ourselves, but it's going to save those that hear it as well. So hearing is just not something passive. Hearing is something that we allow to soak in. As Sister Linda pointed out this morning in class when she was talking about reading, it's just not opening up this book and just, I read the whole Bible. No, it's understanding what you're reading. Understanding what you're hearing. And as you understand what you're reading, understand what you're hearing, you put those things into action. See, that's the important thing. Why? Because we want to grow in Christ. Once we obey the gospel, we want to grow in Christ. Growing is important. Just like a baby. You give that baby, you know, the sincere milk of that bottle. You know, whatever type of milk you want to give them. We talk about some of the name brand milks that they sell out there. And we say, man, that's what's wrong with them. That's the type of milk they had when they was little. Or this type of milk right here. Or the mother's milk. You know, that milk is needful for that child in order for that child to grow. Well, the milk of the word is needful for Christians to grow. How are they going to grow? They're going to grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by us continuing to teach them and by them continuing to learn. But it's all about attitude. Once again, that person that's hearing the word needs to have a good attitude. That person that's teaching the word needs to have a good attitude. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 2 and 3. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, 2, and 3. We must grow in Christ. We must grow in Christ. We can't say, I'm a babe in Christ. You've been a Christian for 10 years. No, you're not a babe in Christ anymore. You're just a lazy Christian. So we need to grow in Christ. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, 2, 3. I was messing with Sister Shalonda earlier today as she was getting ready to leave, and I said, the baby is going to be pushing you, or need to be pushing you. That baby is growing. That baby is growing, and she's continuing to grow. And one day, Sister Shalonda is not going to have to push that baby in that carriage in order for that baby to keep up. That baby is going to be pulling mama, saying, come on, mama, let's go. You see, that's the way we want our young Christians. We want them to get to that point where they're saying, let's go. Let's go. Brother Malachi, as he gets up and teaches those lessons on Wednesday evenings, Brother Malachi is doing a fine job. Brother Gary is doing a fine job. Brother Hurd, as he's preparing, he's getting ready for his next time that he stand up here, he's preparing himself. And they're going to get to the point where they're going to come and they're going to pass us up and they're going to say, come on, let's go. And I'm waiting for that day. I'm waiting for that day. Because, you know, it's not just one man is always more, no more than the next man. We need to all continue to learn. And we all need to grow together in Christ. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, 2, and 3. So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy with all slander. Like newborn infants long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. If you have not tasted that the Lord is good, you're not going to grow. The way that you're going to taste that the Lord is good, that people will continue to, this is what you need right here in order to grow. This is what you need right here in order to grow. These extra classes that we have outside these four walls right here, it's what we need in order for us to grow. And if we do not have those classes, if we do not meet together as Christians outside of these four walls, we're not going to grow. We're not going to grow. If you only open up your Bibles on Sunday mornings or Wednesday evenings, you're not going to grow. You're not going to grow. You need to look at God's Word every day. You need to talk to someone about God's Word every opportunity you get. Do not pass up an opportunity to talk to someone about God's Word. We need to have sincere faith or genuine faith and sincere love in order to be pleasing unto God. It shows why we are Christians, why we are doing the things that we're doing, why are we here today. The Bible tells us in the book of James chapter 4, verse 17, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth not, to him it is sin. So we need to stay away from those things that's going to cause us to fall short of the glory of God. We need to stay away from those things that's going to cause us to lose our soul salvation. Those things that's going to cause us in the very end to be cast into the lake which burns with fire. We need to stay away from those things. Why does it matter? Why does it matter? Here's the reason it matters. In the book of First John chapter 1 and the verses 18. John chapter 1 and the verses 18. This is why it all matters. Think about who God is. Think about who God is. He is our creator. This is why it matters. In verse 18 of John chapter 1, no one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known. Jesus has made God known. We've seen God, or people have seen God through Jesus. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father, he tells them. Why? Because Jesus does everything that did everything that the Father wanted him to do. When we look in the Word, we see God. When we look in the Word, we see Jesus. And when we see them, we know that they are real. That's why it matters, because God is real. He's all-powerful. He's all-knowledgeable about everything, all-knowing. His love, His mercy, His justice, they are all real. Nothing about Him is fake. See, we meet some fake people in our lives. And when we meet those fake people, sooner or later, it's going to tell that they are fake. But God, He is not fake. He is real. Remember what Jesus said unto Peter. Peter said, you are the Son of the living God. Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Do you believe today that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Do you believe that, God is real? It all matters. It all matters. So when you ask that question, why, be ready to receive an answer. That Jesus, He died while we were yet sinners. He died for our sins. While we were yet sinners, He died for our sins. Remember that the people, when they crucified Him, they were in sin. But yet Jesus still died for them. He came to seek and to save those that were lost. He was to be born to save His people from their sins. But it was not just to be born to be born. He was to be born in order to live a life that was pleasing unto God. He was born in order not to just live a pleasing life unto God, but to go to the cruel cross of Calvary to be that ultimate sacrifice in order for you and I to live. The Bible tells us in the book of Romans chapter 6, as we think about Jesus being crucified, verse 1, Romans chapter 6, verse 1. When we answer this question, why? There's no one here that is worthless unto God. Understanding that sin destroys the soul. Understanding that we must hear the word of God and we must follow it until the very end. Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 6 in the verses 1, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were buried, therefore, with Him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk a newness of life. For if we have been united with Him in death like His, we shall certainly be united with Him in a resurrection like His. We know that our old self was crucified with Him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. Why? Why? That's a very good question, isn't it? Why? If you have been asking that question, I hope that you have received the answer. And if you're away from God, if you're away from God, if you have not obeyed the gospel, here's the question that we ask from time to time. Why? Why not tonight? Why not come and confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? That's a song that we sing. Oh, why not tonight? Oh, why not tonight? There's no better time. Tomorrow is not promised to not one of us. You may say, why? Well, because God has not promised it to us. He says, your life is but a vapor that appeared for a little time and then vanished away. Get your life right today. Don't wait any longer. If you're here and you're subject to the invitation, whether you are an alien Christian or an alien person, one that has never come to Christ, or whether you're an erring Christian, one that has come to Christ but has gone back out into the world, we want to invite you this evening to come down the aisle, make that confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, be immersed in the watery grave of baptism, added to the body by the Lord Himself, or if you need to make a confession, come down the aisle, let us know what your sin is, and let us pray for you that sin may be forgiven. As we stand and sing the invitation hymn, we ask you to please come.